Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. God bless you. Hallelujah. Praise our God. This is Minister Aaron Williams. We're excited tonight because this is, as always, the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Not to downplay the pandemic and panic state that a lot of people are in, even the anger that people are in because of what seems to be a disregard at times for human life, but God is continuing to show himself, my God, through those that are on the front lines of the battle, saved and unsaved. People are coming together to help each other get through this pandemic. What a time for brotherly love to continue. What a time for the people of God to show themselves, my God, in the midst of trouble. My goodness, tonight's message, pressure brings you forth. In the midst of this pressure, we should be shining, and we are shining as lights in a dark world. God, we do thank you, and we bless you for your goodness. Thank you that you have brought us to this place. Thank you, God, that your word is true. My God, your word is forever settled in heaven. Thank you that you've given us eyes to see as it even unfolds right before our eyes. We see the signs of the times. We see the prophecies of your word. We see your word fulfilling itself right in our generation. We pray now, God, in the name of Jesus, that you would ready us so for this time. God, even now, God, that you would prepare hearts, that you would prepare minds, God, that you would prepare us as we move forth, God, even in the name of Jesus. As this pandemic, God, seems to hover over us, we thank you for your covering. We thank you for your protection, God. We pray for those families that may be bereaved, that may be going through this situation right now with loved ones, God, with family members. God, we pray in the name of Jesus that your healing virtue would touch those that are sick. God, that your spirit of comfort would move, God, and comfort those, God, that have lost loved ones because of this COVID-19, because of this epidemic, because of this pandemic, because of this illness. God, we take authority over every sickness, every disease, even as you've given us authority. God, in the name of Jesus, we rebuke the spirit of infirmity, every sickness, every disease. We cast it under the blood of Jesus, your healing blood, God, your healing blood. Ah, yes, God, now in the name of Jesus, that you would touch lives, touch bodies from the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet. Now, God, give us ears to hear your word. For it's your word that quickens us. It's your word that makes us alive. It's your word that strengthens us. It's your word that leads us all the way from earth to heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, 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 amen. God bless you. This is Reverend Aaron Williams, and this is DTW Ministries. This is the 1179th episode of Purpose Kingdom Network. We're right here on Blog Talk Radio. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor, 319-527-6091 is the number to call in. We're moving forth in the things of God. We're excited because pressure brings us forth. Pressure brings forth praise. Pressure brings forth the promise. When I was reading the Bible and I was just recognizing that every patriarch, everyone went through something. Everyone had a test, but I heard T.D. Jakes say this some years ago, and we've known who's watched cartoons. I know that Brother Rob, me and him, is cartoon buffs. But this looks like a job for Superman. My God. I know you already know where I'm going with that, but this looks like a job for God. Just listen, be encouraged, because when you see that you're in a situation that you can't handle, you have to tell yourself, You have to tell your spirit. You have to tell the devil, this looks like a job for God. My God, in this pandemic, this crisis, this situation looks like a job for God. Do you have things in your life that are pressing? Do you have things in your life that are pushing you? Do you have things in your life that are making you or making you feel that you're going to the end? This looks like a job. Ah, yes, God, for God. Hallelujah. Tonight we have a special treat. I'm waiting for one of my brothers to come on the line, and we're going to bring him in, and he's going to minister to us the gospel. I told him what the topic was, but I gave him free course that as the Lord uses him, as the Lord leads him, that he can go ahead and get on the line. So when I get notice that he's on the line, I'm going to go ahead and bring him in. But we praise God. We praise God for what we're hearing, what we're doing, what the Lord is doing in us. And we just thank God for the opportunity to be on the line with you today. I had got my little 2 minutes preach in because I'm excited about what God is doing in our lives. Listen, God is not a respecter of persons, but hallelujah, I'll let him tell you himself, but Reverend Myers always says this, he's not a respecter of persons, but God is a respecter of principle. If you follow the principles of God, if you follow the precepts of God, God will bless you because he is not a man that he should lie, neither is he the son of man that he should repent. If he spoke it, he'll do it. Ah, yes, God. And if he said it, he will make it good. Listen, I got another quote from another brother, reverend friend of mine, Reverend Leon Bostic. He say, I might as well give him the glory because it's all working for my good anyway. My God, it's working for our good. So without further ado, this is my brother. We grew up together playing basketball, you know, grew up in the church, grew up in the Lord together. And to see this brother's walk, you know, his dedication to the Lord, his dedication to his wife and his family, I mean, it's very, if you see his life, it's like, wow, you can take notes on the things to do, on the things to do as you're looking at or you want a model of what Christ looks like. So without further ado, come on, join the Lord with me in giving him a hand as Reverend Calvin Myers comes on the line. God bless you.
God bless you, saints. Thank you, Deborah A. I call him Deborah A. Y'all know what Deborah A stands for. The first to initiate of Aaron. And I just thank God for the people of God that allow me to just come here and just be with you to share. A lot of time me and Deborah A get together, we talk about the word, it's just word and building up, lifting up each other. And so there is something I was sharing with Deborah A earlier, and I want to give this verse to you guys before we go into this topic. It's in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9. If you got your Bible, you want to come there with me, I want to show you something in Ecclesiastes, chapter 9. Real quick, something that just will bless you. It blessed me so much. And so the word of God is rich and it's powerful and it has substance inside of it. And anytime you read the word of God, the Bible said that every man that strives for mastery is not crowned except he strive lawfully. So there is a lawful way of getting into the word of God and let it just minister to you. So if you got your Bible, turn your Bible to Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 17. And this blessed me so much today. I was reading it. I like to get up early and read. That's me, y'all. I get up early. I pray first. And then I got to spend time with God. I got to spend time with him in prayer because I love meeting God in the morning. It's a blessing. To me, it's like someone once told me, if you do something for 21 days, I think it was in the book when I was in the class, at the Bible Institute at my church at Deliverance, is the book called God Chosen Fast. Get a chance, church open back up, you get that book. That's a powerful book, I'm telling you. I was a young man in my 20s, and I had this book called God Chosen Fast. And in the book it said, whatever you practice for 21 days, it becomes a habit. Trust me, folks, it is true. Whatever you will practice for 21 days, it becomes a habit. And we have bad habits already by our sin nature. You know, we have the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. All of that is warfaring against it. And the Bible says the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these two are what? Contrary one towards another. So your flesh already got bad habits. But when you practice good habits, praying, reading, meditating, hiding the word in your heart, you automatically begin to get that water next to that tree. And brothers and sisters, when that water is next to that tree is going to grow. And it's going to be very powerful. And so when I get up in the morning to bless me, I share with my kids. I always tell my kids, make it your landmark to learn something new every day that you did not know yesterday. Make it your business. Go into the word. Learn something new that you didn't know yesterday. Go into God's word looking for nuggets. I'm a nugget looker. I like to look for nuggets. I'm looking for nuggets all the time in the word of God because I need it. I love it. It edifies me. But what I found here is in chapter 9 and verse 17. This blessed me. It said, the word of a wise man are heard and quiet more than the cry of him that rules among fools. Y'all don't hear me. You don't hear me. Let me read that again. The words of a wise man are heard and quiet more than the cry of him that rules among fools. Let me tell you something. The Bible says he that walk with wise men shall be what? Wise. But a companion of fools shall be destroyed. There are so much you can learn from being around wise men, wise women, because God is not a respectable person. He is a respectable principles. And that word principle means basic Christian elementary truth. God respects the principles when he sees us live by the principles. That's what moves God, not the titles, not the position, not the gifts, nor the ability, because a lot of people, they live off their gift and their ability. Don't do that. You want to live off the word of God. I was sharing with Deborah A today. I said, in our church, we got two big writings up against the wall. Right in back of the pulpit. Big letters. You can't forget it. One part said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you're sitting looking toward the pulpit, it's on the left side. On the other side, it said, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. That's how we live. That's the quote that Jesus beat the devil with. Jesus could have did many miracles and convinced the devil that he was all that in the bag of chips, but he didn't. He whooped him with the word. The word was talking the word. And when the devil got too much out of control, he said, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall you serve. So listen to this. When you're around wise men, some of the greatest time you will ever get when you're sitting with wise men at a table having coffee or having dinner or riding with them if you're traveling. I remember we had this conference, and T.D. Jakes' keyboard player was back there, and me and him were sitting back there talking, and the young man told me something that I will never forget. He said, my best time that I had with Bishop Jakes is when we riding on the train. This was years ago he was telling me about that. When we traveling and he'd be talking with me and sharing. I like to go over one of the pastors' house, Pastor McQueen, and when I hear him talk, we go over there, sit and talk with him. He would drop nuggets on me and Aaron and share things with us. He would tell us history of the church. And then he would share the word of God. These are men who are diamonds. These are women who have diamonds in them. Young women, you need to get underneath an older, strong woman of God. You sit underneath her and let her pour into you and pour into you and pour into you. I remember when David, because we're talking about pressure makes us stronger and better, brings out the best in us. I remember when David was running from Saul and he ran to where Samuel was at. And Saul got upset. And he heard where David was at. And he sent a group of men to go get David and bring him back here so we can kill him. You got to kill him, get rid of him. Well, he sent those men to go get David. And when they came around Samuel and the prophets, listen, there is a call of prophecy. There is the gifts of prophecy. And then there is the mantle of prophecy. Samuel walked in all three of them. He had the call, he had the gift, and he had the mantle. The mantle part of it is when you're dealing with nations. When those men came with their bows and swords to come kill David, they got around Samuel and those prophets, they started prophesying. You're not coming up into God's house with no knife and bows. He ain't having that. The Bible says God is our strong power. He's our strength, a very present help in time of need. So he's our stronghold. When they got around Samuel, they began to prophesy. Saul sent another group. They came around Samuel. They began to prophesy. And y'all know the saying, if you want the job done right, you got to do it yourself. Saul said, I'm going to get him. And when he came there, the Bible says Saul prophesied so much, he came out of his clothes and prophesied to the point that the people say, is Saul among the prophets? Because God's presence was there. But all of this, David would go to Samuel and told Samuel all the stuff that Saul was doing. If you got someone older in your life who can speak into your life, listen to them. Hear what they're saying. Don't do all the talking. Let them do the talking. You take it in. The Bible says wisdom is deep in the heart of man, but a man of understanding would draw it out of him. The more you ask questions, the more they will give you and they will share with you. Because I'm going to tell you a secret that I've learned about older people. They're looking for someone to pass that wisdom on to. Are you hearing me? Older people are always looking for someone to impart something into because it's important to do that. Paul had Mark, and Paul also had Barnabas. Barnabas took Paul underneath his wing. You get what I'm saying? So God gives us people. Everybody need a Mark in their life that they can train and give them the word. And they need a Barnabas in their life who they can be co-partners with and team up. And so what Paul was doing was he was imparting to the young man, and he was gleaning from Barnabas. And Barnabas' name means son of consolation. He was the type of man that brought the people together. Never be a man that divide men. Never be a woman that divide women. You hear what I'm telling you? We always want to build God's house up. The greatest illustration that Jesus gave us was the Beatitudes. Those Beatitudes are principles that we're supposed to live by. Remember, God is not a respectable person. He is a respectable principle. The principles is in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Those are the principle that sets us apart from other people. If anybody want to wonder if you're a Christian, do you live by these principles? We don't live by the principles of the world. The world lie, cheat, and double down on it. And people still say, oh, they're great and all of the above. You will know them by their fruit, by their fruits. You see the fruits of people. If people are contentious, argumentative, debatable, putting people down, their fruits, you can always tell a man is injured. Or if a woman is injured. People have said a wounded animal is a dangerous animal. And sometimes people are wounded and they are bitter and they are mad and they'll take it out on you. It's your fault. When really it's nobody's fault. We need to heal each other. Iron sharpens iron. As in water, faith answers to faith. We're here to build one another up. The church is the most powerful place in the world. So when we talk about a wise man, word is heard in quiet more than a man who rules among fools. Wise men always got something to say. When we read the Gospels of Jesus, we understand that Jesus would talk with his disciples. And some of the quotes that Jesus would say to them, he said, unto you it is given to know the mystery of God, but unto the rest of the world it's not given unto them. that it may be fulfilled, and seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. So he would tell the disciples that he kept close to him what was really going on. And Judas was there too, y'all. You got to understand, when Jesus was sharing these things with the disciples, Judas was there right with the group. And Jesus never put Judas out there. He never exposed him. He never told nobody. All the way up into the Last Supper, he only told it to one disciple. And he told it to John, the 17-year-old kid. Because everybody was saying, is it I, Lord? Is it I, Lord? And John said, it is I. And he said to John, asked him, who is it going to be? He said, the one that dips in the same time I did. And it was Judas. He couldn't tell it to Peter. Peter would have killed the man. Y'all know Peter was scrapping. He would have put that dagger right in him. I'm telling you, Jesus would have never got to that cross if he left up to Peter. Peter was scrapping, and he had a quick temper. He couldn't tell it to the sons of thunders, because the sons of thunders had quick tempers too. So he could not allow those other men to know what Judas was going to do, but he knew who Judas was from day one. Jesus said, have not I chosen 12, not 11, 12 of you, and one of you are a devil. Well, we feel as though, even though we don't have discernment, even though God didn't told us nothing, or we heard through the California raisin, the grapevine about somebody, it's our job to put them in order. Folks, let me tell you something. God did not put none of us here to be the Holy Ghost. Let the Holy Ghost deal with people. Let him deal with people. You show the love of God to them, but let the Holy Ghost deal with people. Because if people see your good works and they see how you love them, they'll come around. But if you feel as though you heard something about somebody and you always got to get them straight, then you're going to be getting people straight all your life. And when you stand before God, he's going to ask you, what did you do with my word? Well, you know, I had to get Sister Sonika in order because she was out of, and I had to get Brother So-and-so in order because he wasn't living on. That ain't your job. The Bible let us know to work out your own salvation through fear and trembling. It ain't your job to worry about what somebody else doing. Now, if they're leading you, that's a whole different thing. Then you got to go before the Lord and ask the Lord, what will you have you to do? But as far as you trying to find out who living what, don't waste your time doing that. When you look at the apostles and who they were and how they conducted themselves, these were men filled with the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you something. When you really get filled with the Holy Ghost, he'll give you so much work to do. You ain't worried about nobody else's business. You worried about what you need to do. You will have yourself on the altar said, have mercy on me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to your tender mercy. You will try to get your heart in right standards with God. Because as your heart get one with God, you will love people too. And one of the things I learned about genuine men of God, they love people. They love people. They're not there to tear down people. They want to build people. It breaks heart, God's heart, when we separate and go different ways and don't want to bother with each other. We need each other. We need each other. We're back in the first stage of the church, y'all, the book of Acts, when people had gone house to house. We can't go house to house, but they went house to house and breaking bread and sharing the word and reading and praying. That's the church. The church is not a location. It is a group of people, assembly of people that comes together. But through technology, we are able to get on the waves of radio talk show and on radio stations and build one another up. We are living in a time that technology has given us an open door, like the Church of Philadelphia, that nobody can shut. Let me tell you something. This is the time that we can evangelize like never before. I heard my kids say they got off of Facebook because they said, I never was on Facebook. They said it was a place where there's a lot of gossip going on, blah, 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 blah. This and that, it's just a lot of gossip going on there. So they moved away from it. But this thing has drawn people back in, activating their Facebook account again, getting on Zoom, doing one another, because we need one another. Jesus gave us the beatitude how we should treat people. He said, if your enemy be hungry, you'll feed him. Don't say, well, that's on him, because I don't like what he did. If he didn't disrespect me, I would have looked out for him. But since he did, brother man on his own. We can't do that. Feed them. We look out for those people. Because you will be surprised when you show people love how they will come around. Remember Joseph, y'all? We're talking about pressure that brings out the best of us. Joseph went through different type of trial. He had to deal with three different levels of being rejected. He was rejected by his brothers first. Because Joseph was a snitch, y'all. Let's tell it like it is. He was a 17-year-old kid that ran his mouth a lot, and his brothers was grown men, 20-some years old, 30 years old, and then he told them, all y'all bow down to me. You know how big brothers and sisters are. They ain't trying to hear that. Looking at you like they get ready to smack you upside your head. You get ready to get a beat down, Joseph. His brothers rejected him. At one time, they talked about killing him. And the oldest brother said, put him in the hole. That's our brother. And then they looked up and saw the Egyptian people coming. They said, you know what? Sell him to the Egyptian. Let's see what become of his dream. They sent Joseph right into his destiny. Joseph was a man that had ability. He had a powerful gift. One of the things we love about Joseph was he had the gift to interpret dreams. And he had another awesome gift. He was an administrator. He can run your house to the point the only thing you need to do is get your plate that was in front of you. Joseph's running everything. He had it on lockdown. So he got sold away. He goes to Potiphar's house. He's in a different kindreds of people. He's with the Egyptian people now. And he's hanging out with these people. And he's learning their languages. And this man named Potiphar takes a liking to Joseph. And he loved Joseph. And Joseph was a handsome buck. He got muscles and biceps and triceps. He looked good. Good hair and all. He looked good. He looked just like his mom that died. And that woman looked at him, and she said, man, I got to get this young buck. And Joseph looked at her when she grabbed him. He said, how can I do this great sin against God and against my master? He said, I can't do this with you. Well, you know the story. She accused Joseph of raping her. Joseph go to the jail. It looked like his life was going backwards, but it was going forward. Folks, let me tell you something. I believe when Paul thought about all things working together for good, he thought about Joseph. He thought about David. He thought about all the patriarchs that was before him. It's times in your life when it seems like everything in you is going backwards and you don't know why. It seems like you got a curse on you. You don't got no curse on you. It's working together for your good. God is preparing you for your destiny. He has a plan for you. He said, I know the thoughts I have towards you, thoughts of good and not evil, and an expected end. God is dependent on you to make it through this. You're not dead. You're just about to live. But you got to go through this right now because it's going to make you better. In the sports world, me and Deborah A used to play basketball all together, so everybody knows Michael Jordan. Man, I forgot how bad they used to beat Michael Jordan up. Detroit Pistons beat him up. I mean, they put a licking on him and on Scottie Pippen. They beat them boys bad. They were scared of him. But Michael had to go through that mentally to be ready to be the champion. He was getting other type of records of scoring and defense and rookie of the year. He was getting all of that endorsement, but he couldn't get past Detroit Pistons, the bad boys of Detroit. That's what they was called. And then at the end, they took the dagger and stuck it in him. Even though Michael won the series to get to the championship, they didn't even shake their hand and walked off the court. To this day, that thing bothered Michael Jordan. But what he didn't understand is that's what it took to make him what he was. The same thing with you. The bigger the problem, the bigger the anointing is going to be. The more pain, the powerful the anointing will be. Because when God pour that oil on you, it's going to roll. It's going to roll from the top of your head all the way down to the crown of your foot. Some people may never live to see what you're going to be one day. You may not be around to see it, but God knows who you are. The Bible says he chosen you and him before the foundation of the world. One of the brothers said, we're going to talk about the book of Samson. And he was telling me his perspective of Samson. He said, Calvin, if Samson had obeyed God, he would have been a great leader. He would have been all this in the book of Judges. And I listened to him talk, and I said to the brother, I said, do you think God was surprised about what Samson did? His name is Alpha and Omega. He created Samson, knowing that boy was a tit for tat, and put him right in there with the first time. Are you hearing me? He knew who Samson was. The Bible said, if you read that story in the book of Judges about Samson, it said the Lord did this that he might wipe out the Philistine. And yes, Samson got jacked up, but Samson didn't tell everything. What he didn't tell Delilah was he would be a Nazarite to the day he died. He just told her that his hair shouldn't be cut, but he didn't tell her, I'm a Nazarite to the day I'm died. And his hair grew back. And when his hair grew back, Sansa said, just get me to the pillars. I can't see, but you get me between those two pillars. I got something for him. But that's the purpose of Sansa. He was meant to be that hero. And the Bible says he killed more Philistine in his death than when he was alive. And he set the people free. Folks, let me tell you something. What God got for you to do, you got to go through things. It's a part of the call. Even in military, special forces, when you get a chance, look at how the Navy SEALs train. Go to YouTube and look at them, how they train. Everybody can't be a SEAL. A SEAL takes special discipline. Oh, they take you out in the war and let you freeze, you freeze, you freeze. And they tell you anytime you want to quit, only thing you got to do is go to that bell and hit that bell, ding, and you're free to go home. But to be a SEAL is one of the greatest honor. They say making it to the SEALs is better than graduating from Harvard or Yale. And you know what they tell the SEALs men, the Navy SEALs men? Most of you may not never live to be 30 years old because you're going into harm's way. You're going in there. You are trained to be invisible. And what they're going to teach you is incredible. And some of the tools they use, helicopter and all these other things, they don't even show it on TV because it's custom made by SEALs themselves. These guys are genius. Some of them are engineers. They can create things. They created things for other SEALs. So when they're gone, the other SEALs can use them. They have tactics and skills that you rarely see. They can do close-up hand-to-hand combat. They wear different gears for different seasons. If they're in the snow, they got a white gear that keeps them warm in the snow. The cover, only thing you can see is their eyes. If they're in the woods, they got another gear that's green. They camouflage. If it's at nighttime, they got on all black. And they carry different tools on them. So at any time as they need it, they can utilize it. And one of the things they live off of, check this out, y'all. No man left behind. Now, that's SEALs doing that. How much more should we not want to see a brother left behind? This is why we can't, and I was talking with Deborah A. about this earlier. I said, Aaron, the world is saying we're all in this together. This is the world saying we're all in this together. It would be foolish to see people bickering and arguing over the phone or going after someone else. That wouldn't make any sense. Because the way God designed us, he designed us to need one another. Nobody's an island to themselves. He told Adam, it is not good. Not good. When God says something is not good, it ain't good. Everything else he created, and the Bible says the Lord saw that it was good. And the Lord saw that it was good. He made the day and night, and that was good. He made the animals. And that was, everything he said was good, was good, was good, was good. And then he looked at Adam. It didn't say how long it was when him and Adam were together. They spent a lot of time together. Then he looked at Adam. The one thing that God said to Adam that was not good, it's on record, it ain't good that the man should be alone. I'm going to make him a helpmeet. And then he told them, take care of the garden, be fruitful and multiply. He didn't say just y'all two stay together and just forget about everybody. No, no, no. Be fruitful and multiply. Why? You're dealing with a system from heaven. A system, because God is into people. Now, let's go back to Joseph. He goes to jail, and while he's in jail, God shows Joseph favor again. Can you handle favor when you're in an uncomfortable position that you don't want to be at, can you still abide and humble yourself, even though you don't like what you're dealing with? Can you still humble yourself? And Joseph was in jail, and the key guy, the head of the key place, I guess you could say the warden, gave Joseph the keys to everything. And Joseph ran the whole jailhouse. And then one day something special happened. The cupbearer woke up and he was troubled. And Joseph asked him what's wrong. And you know the story. He said, I had a dream that bothered me. Joseph said, it's not their God that answers dreams. Tell me the dream. The cupbearer tells Joseph, I had a dream that I had three bushels of grapes and I was squeezing it in Pharaoh's hand and inside of his cup. And Joseph said, in 3 days, you're going to be restored back into Pharaoh, because Pharaoh had him put in jail. He said, but when you get there, remember me. And so the butler said, this sounds good. I had a dream too. I had a dream that I had three bushels of meat on my head and the birds was coming and eating it. And Joseph said, in 3 days, they're going to cut your head off and the birds are going to eat your flesh. Now that'll take a dance out of you. Nobody is trying to hear that type of dream. The devil's a liar, loose head. But nevertheless, this was the man's dream. 3 days later, the cupbearer was gone, and he forgot about Joseph. 3 days later, the butcher got his head cut clean off, and the birds ate his flesh, and Joseph was still in jail. But we serve a God that understands all things. It seemed like Joseph's life was going backwards, but he was going forward. Folks, never look at your circumstances and say that God has forsaken you. God has not forsaken you. He loves you. He will always love you. Years will go by, and Pharaoh will have a dream. And he would dream of a place next to the sea. And he would see these fat calves come out of the sea. And as they came out of this, seven of them came out. And as they came out of it, seven skinny ones came out of it. And the skinny ones ate the fat ones and stayed skinny. And he dreamt this dream, and it bothered him. It troubled him, and he couldn't understand what it means. Let me tell you something. Anytime you dream something more than once, it is established of God. God is trying to show you something. The book of Job, I think it's Job 33:14, said, the Lord speaketh once, yea, twice, but man perceiveth not. And it say, when he sleepeth and slumbereth upon his bed, then God opened up his spirit and he seals up his faith. God had to wait till you go to sleep and he talked to you through the dream. So what happened is this Pharaoh's having this dream and nobody can explain the interpretation. And then the cupbearer remembered Joseph. What Joseph thought was going backwards, it was going forward. He had to go to jail in order to meet the cupbearer. Sometimes when God is putting you at and got you at, you gotta go that direction to connect with someone else. It's for a reason. That's all it is. It's for a reason. Remember, he said he knows the thoughts he had towards you, thoughts of good and not evil. And so what happens at this time, Joseph is brought forth. They clean him up. The man told him about Joseph. The Pharaoh, the cupbearer told the Pharaoh about Joseph. They clean him up, bring Joseph up. Joseph said, this dream, Pharaoh, it's about 7 years of plenteous that's coming. Plenteous. And then he said, and the other dream will be 7 years of a great famine. He said, what the Pharaoh got to do, remember, he's an administrator too, take the 7 years and store up for 7 years. And then when the 7 year of famine comes, give it back to the people. And find a man that could do that. And the Pharaoh looked at Joseph and he said, who is better than you? And he gave Joseph his ring. And he said, only in the throne I will be greater than you. Folks, sometimes God is trying to move you into a place to meet some very interesting people in your life. Don't worry about who reject you. They got to reject you. It's important that they reject you so you can be the man, the woman that God will call you to be. And rejection is important. It's not wrong with rejection. It's a good thing. Jesus was rejected. So I don't understand when people get upset when folks say something about them. They call Jesus Beelzebub, Lord of the Fly. Now, we know that's not true. So what happened is Joseph is put next to Pharaoh. And here come his brothers. And they walk right in there. Joseph got his Egyptian makeup on. Handsome looking man with the cap on, looking like an Egyptian. And speaking in another language just to mess with them. And they came in there and they all bowed down to Joseph. But Joseph loved his brothers. Because when his dad died, they said, look, dad is gone. Joseph's going to kill us for what we did to him. When they told Joseph, we're going to serve you, please. We're sorry for what we did. Joseph cried. He said, no, that's not what this is about. He said, you meant this for evil. I get it. But God meant it for good. When you look at your circumstances and know that the devil means it for evil, people mean it for evil, family might mean it for evil, but God is using it for good. Folks, you're on the winning side. You win. Even when you lose, seemingly, you won. God has predestined great things for your life. Don't you ever forget that. And we all been told names, and people say what we can do. I've heard the stories too. People told me what I couldn't do and all that stuff. And I believe them at first. You're right, devil. I can't do these things. But as time goes on, God will show you who you really are. That's what matters, because he's calling you to be his mouthpiece, to be his hands. He told Jeremiah, before you was born, I knew you, Jeremiah. Before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you and ordained you to be a prophet to the people. Don't be afraid of their faces. So, yes, many are the affliction of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. There are things that God will take you and I through. We got to go through these things because of the people we're going to connect with. You want to be an old wise woman, an old wise man. So when the time comes when you older, people can glean from your wisdom. Store up all the wisdom. Don't hold no bitterness, nothing against nobody. Because there's a scientific known fact, when people are bitter towards other people, their bodies start breaking down and turn against them. The scientists notice that. Because your body releases a certain oil, and it starts destroying you for being bitter. Being bitter towards someone is like you drinking the poison but expecting them to die. They're not going to die. They're not drinking the poison. You drunk the poison. But they say when people are happy-go-lucky, happy all the time, their spirit is lifted and release another oil that heals the body, that heals the body, that heals the body. I got to bring it in because I know we got to let the talk show announcement take back over. But I want to encourage you to get with the Lord. Walk closer with God. Take your time. Learn nuggets. Let the Spirit of God move upon you. God loves you. He's your best friend. He loves you more than you will ever, ever know. I've heard people who experienced going to heaven and the love they felt coming from the Lord blew their mind. So at this time, what I want to do is I want to turn it back over to the announcers so they can share with you guys what's going on at this time. I thank you for your time, and my time is up.
Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Thank you so much, Reverend Myers. We appreciate your gift and just being available to be used of the Lord tonight. Thank God for that word. Pressure brings you forth. We got to remember that. We're not put in the pressure pot to die. We're put in the pressure pot to bring us forth. It was something that used to happen when, you know, when Big Brother got around. You know, you draw a line, step across that line, step across that line, knock that off your shoulder. Y'all young people, y'all don't know nothing about that, but you step across that line. And every line, you either were moving into fight or flight mode. And that's what the devil wants to do. The devil wants to punk us. He wants to push us into flight or fight mode. And that's the question I want to ask the Christian tonight. What mold will you be in? What mold are you? Is this pandemic? What mold is your pressure? What mold is this test moving you to? Is it moving you to flight or is it moving you to fight? Maybe you don't know the Lord, and you don't know that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against spirits, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's why the Bible encourages us to take on the whole armor of God. Maybe you don't know that. Maybe you haven't heard that. Maybe someone hadn't told you. You haven't heard it explained that Christ died for sinners. He died for us. He died. The righteous died for the unrighteous. The godly died for the ungodly. The Bible says that scarcely, perhaps, maybe someone would even die for a righteous man. But God, peradventure, died for the ungodly. He died for us. Why? Because we needed to have access to the tree of life from the destroyer, from what Satan had destroyed by tricking Eve and the transgression of Adam, our forefather. So we were all born in sin, shaped in iniquity, needing a Savior. And God, my God, allowed Christ, my God. He said, lo, in the volume of the book, it's written of me. Maybe you don't know that story, but if you believe the gospel story, that is that Christ died for your sins, was crucified, and rose on the third day, and is now making intercession for you and I in heaven. And guess what? He's coming back. Can't you see the signs of the times? Even if you're not a believer, if you read the book, you see that it's as current as your current news blog, as your current newspaper. I know newspapers aren't that much popular anymore, but your social media is right there in the book of Daniel, in the book of Revelation. So I want to put out the call of salvation that if you want to be born again, you want to become a Christian, you don't want to be a part of this new world order. You want to make sure that you get it right with God, that you set your house in order. We're going to pray a simple prayer with you and ask that you repeat after me. And after we pray, we're going to bring on Elder Rob, and he's going to give us some more instruction on how to correspond with Purpose Kingdom and give you a few announcements. And then we're going to come back with the final word and the benediction. Say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Forgive me of my sin and wash me in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Save my soul and accept me into your kingdom. Lord Jesus, by your Spirit, come into my heart as Lord and Master of my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. God bless you. If you've said what you meant and meant what you said, God has done exactly what you've asked. Let's pray. God, we do thank you for the confession of the mouth. God, we thank you, God, for the belief in the heart. God, and you said that even in that now they are saved, God. But you asked and you said in your word that we may desire the sincere milk of your word, that we may grow. So I pray, God, that you would gel in them the desire for you. Holy Spirit, stand up in them, draw them to yourself in the name of Jesus. Strengthen them, God, whatever ails them, God, if there's any sick among them, bless them and keep them, God, heal them in the name of Jesus, God. Do it for your own glory. In Jesus' name, God, I thank you for it. Amen. Brother Rod is in your hands.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And yes, this is a part of Purpose Kingdom Network, and we just thank the word that has been brought forth tonight. We just thank you, Minister Aaron, and Brother Calvin, I believe his name is, And we just thank you so much for just bringing forth the word. We hope that God replenish everything that has been brought forth from you tonight to you a thousandfold. And we just thank you so much. And, you know, I am just overwhelmed with just the word that was brought forth. And, you know, real quickly, I'll just go ahead and do the announcements. This is a, of course, this is the Private Purpose Kingdom Network. If you want to correspond with us at Purpose Kingdom Network, you can correspond with us at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com. You can see your comments, questions, concerns. You can simply say hello, send a prayer request, or just let us know that you have accepted Christ in your life. And if you have accepted Christ in your life, we just want you to do one more thing, is to find a Bible-believing, teaching, preaching sanctuary that nurtures the word of Christ. And if you can't find that, that's why we're here at Purpose Kingdom Network, to be a church without walls. And yes, this is what we need right now in these times and days, a church without walls, where you can come and fellowship with you and your family or just a close friend. And you can just tell someone that we're here at Purpose Kingdom Network broadcasting. And, you know, if you want to just follow us on Facebook, you can follow us on Facebook where you see our upcoming shows and announcements and our advertisements at Purpose Kingdom on Facebook. You can just like us. And that way you get a notification each and every time we have a show. If you want to hear any of our past previous broadcasts, go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. Where you can simply type in the host name and the show name. You can hear that show in its entirety and at your convenience. And we'd like to thank each and every one of you for listening for tonight's episode, whether you're calling us on phone or you're listening online. We thank you and we appreciate your support with us here at Purpose Kingdom Network. We thank you so much. Also, with God's will, God's blessing, join us tomorrow evening at the 9 p.m. hour for the Dwelling Place hosted by Sister Dominique Hudson. And once again, with God's will, God's blessing, we hope you join us tomorrow evening at the 9 p.m. hour for the Dwelling Place with Dominique Hudson. And anytime you want to listen to that show via phone, you just call in at 319-527-6091, or you can call in at 323-870-4174. You hit the number one. If anytime you want to speak to any of our hosts on their broadcast or their episode, we just thank you so much. And, you know, also do have on any of our social media pages, we're also on Instagram and Twitter. And we're on LinkedIn, iTunes, at Purpose Kingdom. And you can follow our link for our morning word of praise and worship. And once again, on any of our social media pages, you can just follow the link for Anchor.com or Anchor FM. Under Purpose Kingdom, and you can get a morning word of praise. So not only you're getting an evening of a ministry, you're also getting a morning word of praise. And we hope you share with your friends and family members. And with that being said, that's going to be the end of the announcements. And just to let you know, Reverend Williams, you do have a caller.
Amen. You can bring that caller right on in. Caller, you are on the air. This is DTW Ministries. God bless you.
Yeah, this was Reverend Mack calling, man. I forgot to hit number one earlier, but I heard the word. Thank God I heard the word, and I accept the word, and I believe the word, and I thank God for the word. I mean, the word was powerful, food to my soul. And I just thank God for Reverend Calvin Miles bringing forth that word. And I tell you, we live by the word, we're going to die by the word.
I know that's right, Reverend.
Yes, sir. Thank God for y'all, man. I came on. I was on somewhere else, but after I got off of there, I just came on over here. Yeah, where the feast of the Lord is going. I know the feast of the Lord was going on right here.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. God bless you, Reverend Mac.
Right.
Thank
yes,
God
sir.
For Reverend Mac as he continues to soldier on, valiant soldier in the Lord, continuing to run on in the Lord. I told him because he'd be running across the church. I told him when we get back in the building, I'm going to run with him. My God, I can't wait till we get back together. What a bonfire of praise. Even as we look at this topic, pressure brings us forth. Pressure, it's a song been out here for years, and it says, turn your pressure into praise. I look at all of the patriarchs. Joseph had his pressure. Moses had his pressure. David had his pressure. Joshua had his pressure. My God, the disciples had their pressure. Paul had his pressure. We are having our pressure, and it's bringing us forth. He said, listen, when we're tried, my God, we shall come forth as pure gold. It's something that's about jewelry that's real, something about diamonds, something about gold and precious jewels, that when they're real, you don't have to worry about it getting wet. You don't have to worry about it getting damaged because of the rain, because it's real. Because it's real. My goodness. Maybe that's something we might look at the next time. We're on the air with you. The next time we'll be with you, it's already going to be in the month of May, and it'll be May the 12th. That'll be our next broadcast on Purpose Kingdom. But in between those 2 weeks, even as Rob had considered and suggested, I suggest, you know, we're watching Netflix, we're watching Zulu and Hulu and every other dude. But I challenge you to binge watch, to binge audio Purpose Kingdom. Go on Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom, and look up DTW Ministries. Maybe DTW Ministries is not what your favorite is, what you want, but I challenge you to binge listen to a few of those audio contents. Maybe you can start at January. I mean, it goes back. We've been on the air for 4 years, this is our 1,179th episode. We just recently celebrated our 1,000th episode coming towards the end of last year, and now we're almost at 1,200, and we're continuing to go forth. So we're rejoicing in what the Lord is doing, but do not let, listen, if your gift is burnt up in the fire, guess what? It was hay. It was stubble. It wasn't real, because every precious stone, when it's placed in the fire, rises to the top or sinks to the bottom. The only thing that comes to the top in the fire is that which can be burnt off. God is giving you depth. God is giving you foundation. God is giving and building our character through pressure. Ah, yes. He's putting our roots deeper in him. He's rooting us even the more through our problems, through our pressure, and turning it for our good. Listen, I'm going to say it again, even as Reverend Bostic always says, because it's all working for our good anyway. Listen, child of God, it's working for your good. In the book of 2 Corinthians, I think it's 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. It might be 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. Yeah, 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. Let me read this, and we'll be closing in prayer. It says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. I started at 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, verse 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest. Where? In our mortal flesh. Right now we are the sons of God, the children of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. God, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the word that's gone forth. Thank you for Reverend Myers. Thank you for Rob. Thank you for Purpose Kingdom. God, we pray, God, that the word that's gone forth, that it has landed and fallen on good ground, that it will bring forth fruit to your glory. In the name of Jesus, bless Purpose Kingdom now. Bless every speaker. Bless Dominique as she brings the word and ministers tomorrow, God. Have your way continually in her life. In the name of Jesus. Bless her pop, God. Bless her family. Bless us, God, and make us a blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.
Yet I forgot you. Now I'm crying, Lord, that you restore this joy of my salvation. Consecrate me now as I take this vow of rededication. Yeah. Forgive me of my fault. Dream. Forgive me from the depth of this broken life. Forgive me, I was wrong. I dreamt that I would be more than he wanted me by myself. But now I know without you I cannot do what I do. I need your help. As the deer pants after the water's brook, for you I long. Rise up in me now as I cry out, Lord, to you in this song. Forgive me of my dream. Forgive me from the depths of this broken heart.